Peter R. Breggin, M.D., is called the conscience of psychiatry for his many decades of successful reform efforts. His scientific and educational work provide the foundation for modern criticism of drugs and ECT, and lead the way in promoting more caring and effective therapies. His books include Talking Back to Prozac, Toxic Psychiatry, Medication Madness, Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, and now, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety, Understanding and Overcoming Negative Emotions. Welcome to the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour.
Hello, my wonderful audience. If you've been watching lately, you like me, you've been astonished by the quality of the interviewees and the wonderful people we're having on as we are looking at the hardest issues in the world. And today is going to be no exception. Today may even outdo the others because we have Tom Renz on. Tom, it's hard to say enough about you. Tom has single-handedly decided it was time to sue some of these folks who are shutting down our lives, keeping our kids out of school, making us wear masks where they don't do any good and they just interrupt social life, shutting down the businesses, all the stuff that our tyrannical governments, our CDC and our FDA have been doing to us that aren't good for us. And he and I got in very early, I think. I got invited by him fairly early to do a report from a psychiatric viewpoint, but, oh, man, I did a whole worldview psychiatric viewpoint to back up his first case against the Ohio governor for his emergency edicts and arbitrarily shutting down and keeping things shut down, acting like an emergency edict is his way of ruling the state of Ohio. And this has happened in my state, New York, with Cuomo in spades. So, Tom, you were cutting edge on all that. And now he's working with lawyers around the country on multiple different suits involving our freedom. It's freedom from oppressive COVID-19 policies and practices. And as I'm becoming increasingly aware and will be increasingly writing about, this is a global hornet's nest. I call them the global predators. These are the drug companies. These are the companies that run all the tech. These are the social media companies. These are the major media companies. They all want us ignorant and dependent. That is what is going on in the world right now. And I'm trying to untangle that web more and more, and we'll be working on that. So, Tom, it's just an honor, a pleasure. I think of you as a friend, although, like all the new friends I haven't met you in person. You're just an outstanding gentleman, a thorough lawyer, no nonsense, no self-aggrandizement. Welcome back to the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour, and catch us up with what you're doing. We've been a little out of touch, and you started to catch me up, and it's a lot of exciting stuff. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I'd like to begin by thanking you. I certainly consider you a friend. You're a wonderful, wonderful person. And, I appreciate the accolades. I think I might have been the lawyer of last resort rather than something quite as grand as presented.
Well, I'm the psychiatrist of last resort, so I know about that.
Then I'm in good company. Well, I tell you, we've been very busy, very, very busy. We're taking our first suit, the suit that you and I worked on. We're taking it on the road, if you will. We've challenged the emergency orders in a number of states, Ohio and New Mexico right now, but we have two more we're getting ready to file in. And we've also filed against the Department of Health and Human Services. And that's actually quite a different case. While our first case type was really about, is there an emergency and can there be an emergency when, you know, this is the definition of an emergency is an unexpected thing that happens quickly and then ends. COVID's not going anywhere, so it's not an emergency. It's just the way it is. So, yeah, there is no emergency. So that was the first case. The second case is really about information. Okay, and this is so critical. It's so, so important. Yeah, we have had essentially an experience here where our lives have been monetized. The value of a life is monetized. You know, how much are we worth? And the reason that that was able to happen was because we were able to be lied to about data. We were able to be manipulated with pseudoscience, really. And, you know, this isn't just an opinion. This is actually fact. We can show it. We have shown it. We've demonstrated it in court. And we're going to continue to demonstrate it until we win. The CDC and the DHHS and their sister organizations, what they did was they changed the rules when COVID came along. Now, that's not an opinion. That's just a fact. We have the documents from the CDC that say it. We have the documents that say that we're going to change the way that we count deaths for COVID-19, and that when we change them, we expect that death counts are going to more often than not be attributed to COVID-19. That's the CDC's language. So there's no fact check here. There's no question about it. It just is what it is. We've put out, there's so much other false data. These PCR tests. The PCR tests are a brilliant test from a Nobel-winning scientist who said that their test should never be used to diagnose illness.
Right.
Well, there's a reason for that. It doesn't work for that. And in fact, if you don't believe the Nobel-winning scientist who invented it, you can look in the instruction manuals of most of the tests where there's a disclaimer that says these tests should not be used to diagnose COVID-19. But what do we hear about? The cases. The cases. Well, how do you know if there's a case if you can't test for it? So, and that's not to say there's not. We know it's a disease. We know it's killed people. It's very sad. And we know that it can be dangerous. We have from the beginning said it's nowhere near as dangerous as it's being presented. But when you can lie and manipulate the data, you can get away with anything. And so the second law, type of lawsuit, the suit against DHHS, is saying, listen, there's a law that says that when you present data, it's got to be done so honestly. That law is being broken. Let's fix it. And so that's the second suit. So we've been quite busy. We just did a TRO, which is a temporary restraining order, which is a way of saying, Your Honor, we believe this is critical. It needs to be dealt with immediately, and we're asking you to give us a judgment very quickly. So we filed that, and we're now just waiting to hear back when we're going to get a hearing on that. And we're hoping that they will put this right. And by putting it right, what I mean is that they will say, CDC, when you're counting deaths, you have to count deaths for COVID the same way that you count deaths for every single other cause of death that there is. And by the way, every single cause of death that there is counted the exact same way right now, except for COVID-19. If that happens, they'll have to revise the numbers, and then we'll know how many people actually died from COVID-19, not with COVID-19. At least that's the plan.
Well, just to help folks out some more on what in the world's going on, see, the more deaths they imagine they have, or they can convince us they have, first, the more frightened we will be. A lot of what goes on with COVID-19, and you spotted that right away. You spotted that ahead of me. And Ginger said to me, honey, you know, this is really all about fear. And I said, oh, really? Yeah. And she said, yes. And she explained to me what she thought was going on. And then she came in and she said, look, I've now tracked a whole academic pursuit of how to engender fear into people in order to get them to accept your public health edicts and practices. And I said, I think you're right. And then you got in touch and we started talking and you said, well, the fear factor is very big here. So you'd already been thinking about it. And so that was the beginning of my beginning to realize this is so much about fear. So they want to increase the deaths. And the other thing they do is it gives them more power. They get more money. They get more funding. And then ultimately, we get more docile and they get more power and control. And there's a political movement. And I mean, you don't have to get into this with me at all. But there's a political movement in the whole world now that I'm calling, the global predators. who want more and more power. It includes both China on the one end and then a whole bunch of billionaires and governments, all of whom, it goes back to China, which is fascinating. Every global predator I've found goes back to money in China. It doesn't matter who it is. It can be Gates. It could be anybody. It could be a senator. Or it could be anyone. And so there's just a huge movement in the world that thinks the Chinese model is better than ours because you get more power, more control, and it's going along with surveillance and increased surveillance, which China's just imposing, and we're catching up with now in the surveillance of us, and COVID-19 becomes an excuse for that. So I'm just trying to show there's like this huge picture going on, and the cutting edge of it to put America down, to get it under the control, this very progressive, but totally involved with capitalism as well, predatory capitalism, progressivism. It's just a, you know, pox on all these big places and agencies and moneymakers, whether it's Amazon, it doesn't matter, or Twitter, who think they can control the world. And they're all sort of, and that's what you're up against. And so Tom's right on the cutting edge of this because that's what COVID-19 is about. Tom, I didn't expect to just say all that. But that's what I'm working on right now and thinking a lot about. And you're just on the cutting edge of it. And the PCR tests, the way they work, folks, is you it basically picks up remnants of the of material that look like COVID-19. And correct me if I'm off, because you've been talking probably more with experts about it than I am. And then because that can't even be determined because it's such a small amount, they artificially amplify it. And they're supposed to stop at about a 30 amplification of these fragments of the virus to give some idea of whether or maybe you have the virus or not. But it's a very, very much depends on so many other factors, including whether, in fact, you had the virus and it's dead, been dead for weeks. So it doesn't really tell you very, very much at all. And it's a lot of false positives, and it works beautifully for the oppressors. Does that sound accurate?
That's very accurate. It's very, very accurate. And, you know, it's interesting when you were talking about the global predators and things like that. You know, there's an interesting thing occurring. And this isn't, you know, really where I was planning on going with things, but I think it's really fascinating. Capitalism is, in many ways, it's the natural order of things. You work hard, you keep what you earn, and you develop, and so on and so forth. The problem is that any system, it doesn't matter which, capitalism, socialism, pick your ism, they all begin on a foundation of morality. If there's no morality, none of them work. And the problem that we have is the people that you, and I've never heard the phrase, but I like it, the predators.
The global predators.
The global predators.
I think it's original with me, but I'm not trademarking.
Well, you should. So the thing about the global predators is there's no apparent morality guiding them. At some point, the morality just seems about that they're using seems to be justifying their own development and their own ends and their own means.
They're not patriotic. They're not moral. They're not Judeo-Christian in orientation. Unless you look at the communists, who are the arch predators and always have been, whenever they build a country, it's a predatory on their own people. I'm talking about on their own people and then the world. Or maybe jihadists. There's no underlying ideology for the vast majority of the others. They're just out to get more and have more power. I don't think the people at Amazon or Twitter or I scanned the top 20 billionaires. I could only find two who pretended to have a capitalist orientation even or freedom orientation. And only one of them maybe did. They're all supporting anything that helps them. They give the Democrats, they give the Republicans. So we're dealing with a monster And this may be the nature of all large organizations. It reminds me of, you know, I'm not religious, but maybe I'm getting religious. It reminds me of the Old Testament and the Tower of Babel. You know, we human beings, we get one language, we'll cooperate, and we'll build a tower to heaven. We'll get there on our own. So God broke them up and said, no, you got all these different languages. Well, that's what these people are trying to do. They're trying to take over the organization of the world without any real principles. It's a disaster. One last thought. Oh, God, I didn't think to go here. I'd go here either. And that is that the origin of the ideal of capitalism really comes before you get these giant capitalists in the 19th century who buy the railroads and, you know, do everything they can to organize things, or they monopolize, the robber barons, they monopolize things. When human beings get on a large scale and they become big and powerful, I'm sure Walmart, for example, in the beginning was just this really ethical family led by ethical people. Then you get really big and you think, oh, China, you're slave labor. Let's get the stuff from slave labor. So this is, I think, the overall, and and then I want to be quiet and have you talk some more. And that is that it originates really, when it's good, out of a middle class. So you have independent farmers, you have independent doctors and lawyers, you have independent bookmakers and independent schools and all kinds of, and that is so productive. That is what capitalism really should be about. But I don't know how to push it back in that direction. I think that's the problem we're facing, that every large entity in the world now is corrupt. The Catholic Church got horribly corrupt. And guess what? They've turned to Communist China. It's one of the things I discovered. Communist China's giving them a ton of money, probably to pay off their indebtedness now surrounding the abuse issues. It's impossible to find a large organization that hasn't succumbed to this. So that's the cutting edge we're all on, folks. And you were talking about privately about people stepping forward. I'd love to hear you say more about that.
Well, I guess in which way, which regards? I
mean, just what people need to do, and more people step forward, help you come forward, work on these issues. I mean, you're just devoting your life to this, and you're so alone, basically. And everybody who's doing this is pretty much alone, but working together, we're getting to know each other, and it's getting larger. But we just need to get, people need to get serious about this. We're losing our freedom, folks.
Yeah, well, so the price of freedom is and has always been eternal vigilance. We have to watch. And I think what happened is particularly through the 20th century, we got comfortable. We weren't hungry for the most part. There were hungry people, but the population wasn't hungry. We weren't worried about shelter. Most of us had it, not all of us. But, you know, a vast majority of people have been very comfortable for a long time. And we're no longer worried about whether our children are going to be fed or warm. We're worried about, you know, are they going to get the new iPhone? Are they going to get this? Are they going to get that? And so we quit paying attention. And we'll give up a little bit here because it's not worth fighting over because life's good, right? Well, we continued doing that, and we've continued and continued. And then one day we woke up and someone said that if you want to go shopping, you have to wear a mask. And someone said, well, you know, you got to stay in your house for 2 weeks because we're going to lock down the country. And the shocking thing, I think, to me was even after that, we still sat on our hands.
Yeah.
We still sat on our hands, you know, and what has to happen before we realize that, hey, we need to do something about this? Now, there's a lot of people that do know that. And there's a lot of people that are very frustrated. And there's a lot of people that are supporting us. But there's an awful lot who are afraid to. There's an awful lot who are too afraid to look at the facts around this disease and see that it's just being used as a tool. Now, that's not to say that it's not dangerous. I've lost people, and it's very sad. But it is to say that ultimately, what are you willing to give up for your freedom? Yeah, what does your freedom mean to you? What does it mean for your children and for your future? And, you know, it's not a slippery slope at this point. We're speeding down a hill.
You know? Yes.
So, you know, we have to do something. And I do want to urge people, Ohio Stands Up, Make Americans Free Again. Those are the two groups I'm working with. If you're in Ohio, work with Ohio Stands Up. If you're with Make America, if you're not, check out Make Americans Free Again. We do have some other stand-up groups in some other states, but check with Make Americans Free Again. We're trying to organize. We're trying to get people out there. And one of the things that's critical, if I was to win this tomorrow in court, and I don't know, we never know what's going to happen with the courts. I think we have great cases. I feel very good about them. I feel that they're very strong. I'd like to say that I'm more than a little optimistic, but, you know, we'll see. But regardless of what happens in the courtroom, I've told my people, if we wake up tomorrow and I've won in the court and that's all, we're in trouble. Because there's 150 million plus Americans too afraid to walk out of their house without a cover over their face, which is absurd. You know, there's people that have monetized life. They've monetized everything about us. You know, we're nothing more than a figure for a lot of these big companies. And we've seen this, right? We've seen this. You know, they're making decisions based on profit margins when it comes to treatment in health systems, right? You have for anyone who's involved with or not involved with a healthcare system right now, you have operations management people in these big hospital systems. These operation management people tell the doctors, who are usually very good people and just want to take care of their patients, but they've got these operation management people up there telling them that you've got this many minutes to spend with your patient. And you can give them this treatment or this treatment or this treatment, but that's all, because we make good money on these treatments. And if you try and give them something else, well, you're in trouble. You're fired. You know, and that's healthcare now. So we've monetized people. And that's come from the people who are making money off of that. You know, we have the drug companies. We have all these different companies. That's not to say they're all evil or everything they do is bad, but, you know, this isn't right. And if we don't stand up, if we don't fight for our freedom, if we don't speak out, if we don't get active, we're doomed. Our freedom will be gone. So that price has to be paid. We've sat on our hands for a long time, so it's a big check. But we need to be vigilant. We need to be digging in. We need to be finding out what's happening, and we need to be taking steps to protect our kids' future.
Totally with you. It gets this weird, folks. Hospitals get more money if they have more COVID patients. There are automatic jackups in how much you get paid for a COVID patient. So of course COVID patient numbers are gonna go up and COVID deaths are gonna go up. It's all around funneling money back into the industrial complex. And that's where Fauci is, you know, he's promoting very bad drugs like remdesivir that he literally, if you go to my coronavirus, my website is Bregan.com, but you go to the Coronavirus Resource Center, and you'll see all this. Fauci has been working with his favorite drug companies for years, trying to get them richer and richer. He gets more and more money through his institute, even if it doesn't go into his own pocket, which we can't tell, but he enriches his institute, his power, his influence. And it's all about that. And they really are disdainful of us. I mean, they're disdainful of people who talk about freedom, who talk about personal responsibility. God forbid you should talk about God. I mean, they really are disdainful. And that's where it stands right now. Wow. What has it been like for you? This has got to have been a really steep learning curve for you about the nature of what is essentially the grip of evil that is coming on the world and the country.
Yeah, there's been an awful lot to learn. I mean, I literally spend every waking minute studying and learning and working on this. You know, I can't even begin to guess how many tens of thousands of pages of research I've read so that I understood the health side of things and the science side of things well enough to deal with it as an attorney. Not that I'm a doctor or anything of the sort, but I have to have a pretty good understanding. You know, it's not enough for me to say the PCR test doesn't work. If I've got someone on the stand, I need to be able to ask them the right questions. And so I've had to spend a ton of time understanding all of the details so that I could argue this and so that I could put these cases together. It's been very, very difficult. And I'll tell you what's worst. The worst part of this is that there's so few people willing to fight this. And every day my phone rings off the hook with people telling me about their children committing suicide, with people telling me about losing their livelihoods. They've had their family business for three generations. It's going under. People telling me that, you know, my loved one is dying. I've been married for 40 years and I can't say goodbye because I'm not allowed into the hospital. I got to tell you, on a personal level, I'm grateful that I'm a man of faith. And I'm grateful for that, because if not for that, I don't know how I would have the strength to carry on. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to hear these stories day after day after day. And, you know, like I said, we lost my father-in-law, and he was one of the people that actually did die from COVID. Okay. A wonderful man. I was very close to him. Cannot say if I'm half the man he was, I will be doing well. I've seen how it works. And, you know, it's interesting to see it from both sides. And I'm going to tell you, having seen this, having seen exactly one thing that I can tell you, I'm 100% confident that we're doing the right thing in fighting for our freedoms and fighting for... Dad would have done a lot better had he been able to get certain treatments. We know that because towards the end, when it was too late, we got word about some additional treatments that the FDA and all these different people had said, no, no, you can't do that. It doesn't do any good. They turned him around. Not enough that he could make it, but they had a huge impact.
Yeah,
why? And why in God's name are these not made available to people? Why is it that the politicians are on prophylactics so that they can go out and campaign? But that's not available to the regular man. Can you explain this to me? When we start hiding things, and I'll tell you why they're hidden, because they're cheap. No one can make money off of them. We know there's treatments out there. There's tons of evidence of this, but they won't be talked about. Now, I can't talk about it because I'm not a doctor and, you know, I'm not qualified to talk about it, but I know what I saw. And I know that
I can say that you know more than 99% of the doctors now, and folks, everything Tom Renz is talking about is true. Go ahead. And well, I'll name the drugs since I'm not a doctor. You know, the hydroxychloroquine in particular, the ivermectin. There are now two drugs that have been around for decades, 50 years or whatever, that are such safe drugs. And you who know me know I'm very critical of drugs in general. These drugs have safety records like that are unbelievable. They've been used for rheumatoid arthritis. They've been used for parasites. They've been used for viral diseases, malaria with hydroxychloroquine. All the rumors about they're causing this or that problem are only when you overdose the person. They're not from routine use. And again, all of this is for free on Bregan.com on the... just go right down. You'll see right away how to get to the resource center. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, Peter, is after this all happened with Dad, I looked into this. I started talking to more and more doctors because I've got quite a network of doctors to talk to now. And universally, they're saying, yeah, this works, this works. There's all these different things. Not everybody knows about all of them. And a lot of times, particularly the hospital systems, don't know. But if you talk to the higher end doctors who treat the really affluent patients, well, they all know it works. But why isn't this available for regular people? Why?
Can you tell me? It's funny because it's not too expensive. It's too cheap. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to do it. So, you know, like I said, if I could tell you, I wish to God, Peter, that I could tell everyone what I know because I have evidence of, but I can't. There's just too many legal things going on right now that I can't go into. But some of the evidence we've seen about what's happening makes me literally sick to my stomach. Like I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe in family. And to see what they're doing just makes me absolutely nauseous. And it's amazing. And I'll tell you one other observation that I've made. You know, you talked a lot about some of the different isms, the different countries, the different beliefs out there. You know, and so I just talked about the use of certain treatments and stuff like that, which is naturally going to be super controversial. I mean, clearly no one but Anthony Fauci, who said we don't need masks, do need masks, don't need masks, need three masks. He said, anything over 35 cycles is garbage, but we're going to prove everything at 40 cycles. I mean, that's the guy who we should be looking to. But anyways, you know, one of the things that I've seen with this that I would love to kind of put out there is the divide. And, you know, this gets played as a right issue or a left issue. So I've said, God knows, that I'm Christian and that I believe in family. So clearly what that is, those are fighting words in this country today, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. Let me tell you what I believe, okay? I believe that you should be able to live your life in any way that makes you happy so long as it doesn't interfere with my rights.
Yeah.
Okay? How's that any different from what I see people marching over on the left? I think that we're not as far apart on the right and left as we think. You see a lot of people who are frustrated on the left with the billionaires. You see a lot of people on the right who are frustrated with the billionaires. You see a lot of people frustrated with politicians on the left and the right. I don't think that they're as far apart as they're made to believe, but there's an awful lot of money in pitting one side against the other. I think most people who lean right believe that live your life, do your thing. As long as it doesn't affect me or my rights, I'm happy to let you do what you want to do, and you should do the same. I think that's really something that's fought for hard on the left as well. So again, why all the divisiveness? Why is it controversial? Why is it that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to say, well, this guy's talking about drugs and treatments, and yeah, that's very controversial. Why? Why is that controversial? Why is anything we're saying controversial? We're talking about how do we keep people safe and healthy. And let me tell you, when the leading cause of death for 10 to 14-year-olds is suicide, we're failing. Okay, we're not keeping people healthy. No child under 18 years of age has died from COVID in the state of Ohio. Why are the schools locked down? The leading cause of death, again, 10 to 14, babies, suicide. We close the schools down. So let's talk about being healthy. Let's talk about keeping our kids safe. Are we doing it? I would say we're definitely not. I'd say we're doing the opposite. But somehow what I'm saying is going to be controversial politically. This isn't controversial. The numbers are clear. People are dying from suicide. People are dying from mental health issues. People are dying from drug overdoses. Domestic violence is up. We know that. We know it skyrocketed as a result of this nonsense that we've done to prevent COVID. What we also know is that they're lying about the number of deaths. Children aren't getting it. They can't transmit it. There is no scientific evidence whatsoever that is valid that shows anything that suggests that asymptomatic spread is a real thing. There's no scientific evidence that suggests that children are true vectors of transmission. So why, if we're going to talk about health, let's get rid of this right-left nonsense and let's talk about truth. Not my truth, your truth, real truth. The real truth is that this is not killing as many people as they're saying. It's not dangerous to kids, but what we're doing is dangerous to kids. It's dangerous to their mental health, to their social development, to all of these different things, and you can speak on that better than I can. So let's quit being divided about this. Let's use our common sense here and let's move forward.
That's so on point. That is just so amazingly on point. I'm going to probably have some dead air space now because I'm just thinking about what you're saying, because there's so many different ways to go into this. Folks, I think it's so important, and I'm always uneasy talking about it, but we are in a revolutionary period. It is time to stand up for the American values, for the individual, for freedom, for the fundamental values that have made America great. And we have lost them. And I think Tom's analysis of we've been too comfortable and things have been going too well is really, really true. We're a very soft and frightened nation compared to when we were fighting World War I, World War II, and the communist bloc originally, USSR. We've grown so afraid of our enemies that we're cozying up to China. We're not fighting China. They're fighting. They got a war going against us, and we're trying to be nice to them and make money from them. It's we really do need to stand up. I'll share something personal I have talked very little about, but when Ginger and I made the decision to take on COVID-19, because we began to see that this was stuff we know about. We know about corruption. We know about how these large corporations work. I've been a medical expert in product liability against big drug companies who are sort of the narrow conduit of power in some ways through COVID-19. But it's not just the drug companies. They spread everywhere. Their money goes everywhere. Bill Gates is invested in those companies. They're invested in China. The spreads are just, you know, enormous. One of the big vaccines, Pfizer's vaccine, is funded by the Chinese Communist Party through a Chinese corporation. All this will be coming out in details. It just spreads and spreads. But we had some idea. We didn't know anything, just like you didn't know anything in the beginning. But we were scared. We thought, look, we've been all our lives fighting for liberty in the psychiatric arena, truth in the psychiatric arena. We've been afraid. We're afraid that all that pressure on us and all the censorship we'd have experienced, we'd then get really wiped out if we took on the new issue. You know, all that 50 years of work literally would be wiped out if we took on that issue. And now Ginger looks at me and she says, you know, we thought what you were doing was everything and we didn't want to risk it. But now it looks like all that everything was really nothing compared to COVID-19, and God was getting you ready to do COVID-19. And the thing is getting a lot of people ready, because everywhere I'm dirty, there are a lot of people now ready to stand up. And I just hope more and more of you would join us. You may find my experience and Ginger's, which is as terrified as we were, life is a lot better for us. We're with new people, we're with braver people, we're with people like Tom Renz. We're together, we trust each other, we help each other. Get involved. This is the movement of our times. It starts with COVID-19, and then you discover it's about freedom. So there are other ways for you to get in, through politics, through religion, through the law. There's many ways to get in. But it's really at a critical point for America now, because they want to destroy America. They want to destroy the American middle class. They want to destroy the religious people in America. They want to destroy the independent thinkers in America. And they want to monetize us, as well. They have already, as Tom is saying. That is, they only view us as people to be consumed, controlled, to make money from. And they've been just shifting money. They've been sapping money out of the United States middle class and lower class, from the blacks and the poor, and from everybody who's not really doing very, very well. And the wealth is shifting upward. It's just time for a lot of us, as Tom said, so eloquent, much better than I've been able to say. It's really time to get together from all sides and say, we're all individuals. We really all want freedom. We all want to take responsibility. And they don't want that. And America's the last one in their way. Europe doesn't get this. None of the European nations get this. They don't have maybe 10% of their population might have a halfway understanding. Half of America gets this. And let's expand how many people in America, and let's join together. And it is terrifying, and I can't guarantee you safety. I can't say, yeah, you're a lawyer, you can do what Tom Renz does. You'll be safe. But I believe that you will get something so powerful from it in the way of if you believe in God in a sense of a protection, but if you believe just in righteousness and rightness and good people working together, you're gonna be in a new world. And it's the world that made the American Revolution. It's the world that fought the Civil War on the good side. It's where the right is. And join us, I'd say, join us. Find your own way to join us. It could be on a level of a school board. It can be on the level of a precinct person. It can be on the level of your church or your club. So I'm really glad you introduced that idea. I don't talk about it much. And I don't talk about the fear, because Ginger and I were really scared when we took this on. And then once we saw that we matter, everybody matters who takes this on, we realized that was more important than safety. And you probably have experienced that even more deeply than us, because I don't think until this you really got involved with taking on this evil. We already knew about that. We were just scared about doing more. So your thoughts of more and encouraging people to get involved, I think, is just critical. I haven't been doing it enough. Thank you for doing it.
Well, you're right. And Peter, just doing what you're doing gets people involved. You know, I'm a nobody. I've always been an idealist, though. I've been fighting for any cause that I could fight for since I was a young man.
You know, that's often what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe that there's right and wrong. People are very rarely fully good or fully evil. People are usually a mix. And it's fun to understand. And so it's not so much that I'm looking at people as the problem, but it's their actions. You know, so it's what you do, right? You don't have to be, being a good person, being a bad person, that's determined by what you do, not what you did. And so, you know, it's about moving forward. I think the fear thing is a really big thing. You know, there's so many people that could do so much to help. Do you know how many times a day I get a message, hey, did you see this? Why haven't we filed suit on it yet? Well, because I've got two hands, 24 hours. I don't have resources. I'm a regular guy. I live in a little town. I'm not, you know, a rich, famous, big shot. No one ever heard of me before this. You know, I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm just normal. So, you know, I'm taking on every fight I can, and I've got ideas, I got plans, I got cases for so many things that are going on right now, but the resources aren't there. And there's so many people that have so much, and they're so afraid of losing anything that they're going to end up losing everything. You either take a stand or, you know, you're going to be in trouble here. And I want to encourage people to have the courage to take a stand. And I'll tell you, I don't know, you know, to each their own. You got to live your own life your own way. But I'll tell you that for me, I just can't imagine living a life where I was too afraid to stand for something. I just can't. I mean, it's okay if I lose. It's not okay. I don't ever want to lose. I hate losing. But, you know, it's better to have fought a good fight and lost than to been too afraid to fight. It's David and Goliath. Literally, you got some guy from Nowheresville, Ohio, fighting all these guys. It's tough, and it is scary at times. You know, it is. But thankfully, I'm too dumb to quit or to know the odds, I guess. You know, I'm just going to keep going, and that's okay. That's who I am, and I'm willing to be that way. I think it provides a good example for my kids. You know, I got two little boys. When they grow, I want them to know you have to stand for something. You have to stand for what's right. You know, I look at what this is doing. One of the things that I thought was interesting, and I think is really another right-left thing, the damage that this is doing to impoverished lower-income communities, particularly minority communities, I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing, and it makes me sick. And, you know, I've done some work here and there and some places where, people had it pretty tough. And I've seen what they've gone through, and I didn't come from a silver spoon. So, you know, I think about what's happening there, and it's just heartbreaking. Now, meanwhile, those that have the capacity or the resources or the abilities to fight this, you know, they're just sitting there worried about keeping what they got. You know, and some of them literally don't know. There's a lot of people that really don't know, because the lies that have been told about this have been told very effectively by people who are very skilled at doing it. But that's what this is about, right? So our conversation will go out and people will hear it. And God willing, they'll research. Or if they've already researched, maybe they'll go out and they'll be a little less afraid and they'll go tell someone. And then that person will research, right? We got to get the message out. We got to let people know, yeah, there's a disease out there. And yes, some people have died. But you know what? It's nowhere near as many as they're saying. I mean, we have about 650,000 people a year die from arguably preventable heart disease in America. Have we declared an emergency and shut down McDonald's? You know, that's definitely more than what we're going to see from COVID. But yet we still go to McDonald's every day. You know, so the thing at 99.9 plus percent recovery, I'm sorry, on this, and yeah, that it's we're just terrified. We're just sitting here. So, you know, I'm hoping that by doing the media and working with people like you who have people that listen to them, we can get some people moving on this. They got to fight. They got to get organized. You know, that's what MAFA and OSU or Ohio Stands Up are about. Make Americans Free Again. I mean, they're helping with organization, because again, two hands, 24 hours. I'm doing everything I can, but yeah, two hands, 24 hours.
What's the best way to get money to you? And this is nothing Tom asked me to do, but what's the best way to contribute money to you directly that's going to eventually help you out in what you're doing?
Through Make Americans Free Again or Ohio Stands Up.
Yeah. Make Americans Free Again, folks, is run by my friend Pam Popper, that you will have seen multiple times on my shows. And so she's totally trustworthy. It's an excellent way to send your money. It's a really, really good thing. So Make America Free Again through Pam.
Wonderful people. Pam is a wonderful person. Yeah, I thought to myself over and over again, what could she possibly be getting out of this? And the answer is nothing. just the satisfaction of knowing that she's doing right. And that's the truth. She just wants our country free. She appreciates that. And you know, the amazing thing is I just can't get over my plaintiffs from Ohio Stands Up. So they formed Ohio Stands Up, my plaintiffs in the original lawsuit. I mean, these are just such normal people that have been willing to have the courage to fight. And none of them have experience as, you know, leaders of big political movements, you know. But look what they're doing. You know, they're having a huge impact. And it's so heartening to see that, because that is the American spirit. That is America. That is who we are. You know, we can pull together and we can make a difference. You know, it's taken a lot of work. It's taken a lot of effort. You know, they've taken their share of their knocks. You know, people telling them that they're trying to kill grandma and such. People who really have no idea about the truth of what's happening. People who like to talk instead of listen. And who talk before they do listen, which is really an issue. But it's amazing to see what just regular people can do. That's what made America great. You mentioned the middle class, and I totally agree with you. The regular working people are what made this country. And the thing that truly gave us greatness was the idea that, you know what? I may be someone who's in one of those impoverished neighborhoods in an inner city. But, you know, if I work hard enough, maybe I can open my little store, and maybe that can turn into a big store, and maybe I can make it. That was the American dream, right? It was the opportunity to climb upwards. And really, the most insidious part of what's happening now is not the deaths from COVID, but the death of the American dream. Because from COVID, look what's happened. All the mom and pop businesses are dying. They're being shut down. Amazon's making a killing. All Silicon Valley's making a killing. All the big companies are making a killing. We shut down mom and pop shops, but meanwhile, the big stores, they're all open. They're making just money hand over fist. Why is that? Why is that? Do we really think that's a coincidence? I mean, is it that an accident? Do you think that if we shut Walmart down, that there wouldn't be someone fighting this? You know, I suggest that if we're going to shut some people down, why don't we start out by shutting down Silicon Valley and Walmart? Let's see if there's any lawyers fighting at them, or if they're still stuck with me. Yeah.
This is very deep, folks, and these are understandings that are really new for me in the last year. And I knew some of it abstractly, but ordinary American citizens are the hope of the world. We fought the Revolutionary War. We saved the country and freed the slaves in the Civil War. And we're the backbone. And when they destroy the middle class, as they're doing now by shutting down the small businesses endlessly, it is not collateral damage. It's the target. And we got to get that straight. And if you go back and you read the original Marx, Karl Marx, what does he say? The middle class are the enemy. They're the bourgeoisie. They can never be trusted. You have to destroy them. They say that the Judeo-Christian tradition and the people who represented it, they are the enemy. We have to destroy them. The enemy is always the people with a firm belief in themselves and in their work ethics and in their building lives, because they want to do it. And why do they want to take over and tell you what to learn in school and tell you what to watch on TV and keep your leaders off of Twitter and out of Amazon and all of that? It isn't because they want to protect you and love you any more than people are doing that with their sheep or their slaves. And if they're ignoring the fact they're making their fortunes off a nation, China, that abuses all its neighbors and imprisons people and has slave labor and child labor, this is real. This is real. And we stand in the way. The people who actually believe in the basic Declaration of Independence, the constitutional ideas, which is that government isn't the source of truth, big business isn't the source of truth, some smart ass running a tech company is not the source of truth, but that it's like inalienable rights that we have a right to protect, freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of scientific discussion, medical discussion. It's hard to put all these different things together, and you hear our two voices sort of putting them together from nearly the same perspective, but a little differently. And this is what it's about. It's not by chance that these shutdowns are taking place and that Walmart's open, but your local store is not. It's not by chance. I'm out of breath.
Well, yeah, that was a mouthful, maybe two. Yeah, you're right. I don't think there's anything by chance here. And it's interesting to see, as this continues, the question is, if not for people standing up and challenging it, and there's more and more every day, but what would the end game have been if we hadn't? I mean, there's so few of us that are challenging this. So it's hard to say that we're making a huge difference. We're trying.
Right.
But if not for at least someone challenging this, what was the end game? Where are we trying to go with this? And I think people need to ask themselves that. Yeah, and I kind of take for granted that at this point, because I've talked so much about it, you know, our cases and such, they're public. We've posted them. You can check them out on the websites. And I want to challenge anyone who thinks that I'm untruthful or misconstruing things. I want to challenge you. Go through the cases. Check the citations. Read the citations. Look at the source. When you're done, if you still think that we're misconstruing things, well, I'd appreciate a note so that you can help me to see where I've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, we have gone to just absurd lengths to ensure that everything we said and did was truthful and honest and not taken out of context. You know, just absurd lengths. So, you know, take a look. I want to challenge you to dig into it for yourself. You know, some of this is hard to read. Some of it's complicated. We've made it as simple as we could try and make it, you know, to the best of our ability. Tried to make it accessible. But challenge yourself. You know, try and learn something. See where you come out. And if you come out somewhere different and you find something that we did wrong, please let us know. I've said frequently, all that the states or federal government have to do to make me go away is put out the raw data so that we can look at it and discredit me. But they won't do that. I wonder why.
We need to finish now. This is really raced along. And maybe I'll finish up by saying that there's just a lot of places you can go right now. Well, not a lot, but some very strong ones. Tom Rentz's website's very strong. Pam Popper does regular reports on COVID-19. Mybregan.com has the Resource Center. And one of the best places is the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, to which I belong, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, AAPS. And there you'll find medical people writing and talking about these issues and providing you a free guidebook on just how to get the best treatment for COVID-19. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Tom Rentz, for being on Dr. Peter Bregan Hour.
Oh, it's a pleasure and an honor. I'm so grateful to call you and Ginger friends.
It's ditto. Thank you so much. You're a joy to know you're alive. Thank you, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking us seriously. Bye now.